You've been a really good audience. It's just fantastic to be here tonight to actually be in solidarity with so many people interested in this issue, because you'd appreciate why we've had the speakers, David Spratt and Michael, so that we can see that members of the campaign, you know, the climate campaign in Victoria, have put the work in to understand the science and the technology. And that's why we can be confident that it's not a question of needing more research, needing to, you know, examine the science over and over again, you know, have more debates and royal commissions like Steve Fielding wants, you know. We are human beings, we are creative individuals, and we are able to understand the science and the technology. Otherwise, we would never have started driving cars and turning on the switches in our houses, you know. And what I've learned about electricity over the last couple of years, I feel a lot safer with people like this than I do with the first people who brought in electricity. So thank you very much for those speakers. And now, as I said at the beginning, there's the real question for us, I think, for all of us to bind together and to campaign, is the political questions that this is drawn out for us in our society. It's just been, just a mess watching what's been happening in Canberra. I just don't want to go into it. So I think more importantly, let's have Clive Hamilton, who's going to actually put his politics into practice and actually try to challenge for changing the kind of political leadership we've got in this country, so that we do have political leaders who listen to the science, the technology, and the people of Australia who want that kind of change. So please welcome Clive Hamilton.
I'll stand, I'll talk from here. First of all, I want to just mention Adam Band, who regrets that he can't be here. Adam is the Greens candidate for this federal seat of Melbourne, and Adam's been campaigning pretty hard on the solar systems issue with a view to sending a message about clean energy and jobs. In this this seat of Melbourne, Lindsay Tanner's seat, I think somebody mentioned that the government can find its way to find billions of dollars to bail out the banks when they got into trouble, but they can't find enough money to help solar systems get up and running. Well, as you all know, and as we've heard, this is really a critical moment. We only have a few years, according to leading scientists, in order to bring about the industrial restructuring that will be an essential component of the transition to a low-carbon future. But when we ask ourselves what's happening in this country, in fact, the opposite is happening. There's no sense of urgency. There's no sense, no desire politically for radical action. The government's carbon pollution reduction scheme, analysed by both Treasury and Garno, predicts a very healthy expansion of Australia's coal industry for the next several decades. And as we've heard from David, under the CPRS, this was even before it was watered down, Australia's greenhouse gas emissions are not anticipated to begin declining until 2035. Well, it's just astonishing when you read the science to think that any competent or responsible policymaker could delay reducing Australia's greenhouse gas emissions for another 25 years. But of course, what we've seen, rather than promote companies which are going to be the innovative energy industries of the 21st century, we've seen the federal government under Howard and now under Rudd invest massive resources in trying to save the coal industry at exactly the time we need to be phasing coal out. And so they've invested huge amounts of mainly public funds in carbon capture and storage. You know, the Australian wool industry levies its members and invests about 2% of its revenue each year in innovation to promote the industry. When you look at how much the coal industry is investing in CCS, it's not anywhere near 2%, it's more like 0.1%. The great bulk of the money going into CCS comes from you and me. And CCS, as you know, carbon capture and storage, or geosequestration as we used to call it, is really a never-never technology. The Treasury suggests that it may be available in the late 2020s or early 2030s, even as most vigorous advocates concede that it wouldn't start reducing Australia's emissions for 20 or more years. And of course, it's massively expensive. What the coal industry is now, and the electricity industries are now trying to get from the federal government, and they will get it, is for us, the public, to take over responsibility for ensuring the risk of these greenhouse gases which are trapped underground, which have to stay there for hundreds and indeed thousands of years. Because once those greenhouse gases start to leak out of these saline aquifers or whatever underground geological formations, and of course you've undermined the whole purpose of the technology. So rather than take responsibility and pay for the risks associated with this technology, these corporations are insisting, before they go ahead and save us from climate change, that the government, that is the public, provide for the insurance against leaks. And against this extraordinary outlay of public funds on a highly speculative technology that, even if it works, won't start to reduce emissions in this country for 20 or 25 years, we've seen a history for the last 10 years, starting or 12 years, starting with the Howard government in 1996, of robbing money from research in renewable energy systems. And that's what we're seeing again, unwillingness to sustain the energy industries of the 21st century because we're trying to keep alive those of the 19th. Of course, support for solar systems would be much less necessary if we had a strong and consistent climate change policy in this country. If we had, for example, a genuine emissions reduction strategy based on the science, such as the Greens have under their safe climate policy, of cutting Australia's emissions by 40% by 2020. That is, in the next 10 years.